I'd like to turn to the book of John, chapter 15. Book of John, chapter 15. We'll read verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. These, of course, are words of Christ to the 11 on the night of the Passover and what would be the night of Christ's arrest as well. The ones that he's speaking to, Judas has already gone out. These 3.5 years earlier, at the call of Christ, had left their jobs, left their homes, left their families to follow Christ. And for the past 3.5 years, they have been with him. They have witnessed his countless miracles, the healings, the deliverances. They've seen him feed multitudes with very little means, walk on water. They'd seen him calm the storm, raise the dead. They'd spent the last years listening to the greatest teachings ever taught. And they had just witnessed the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But on this evening, they are at a loss. They are very confused, quite alarmed, no doubt fearful, anxious, just greatly distressed. Jesus had just told them that he was leaving, and where he was going, they could not follow. He had also told them that evening that one of them would betray him, that Peter would deny him 3 times, and he had spoken of his coming death. So they are very distressed. And Christ has what they so desperately need. And it is at this time that Jesus speaks these words, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. They are in the context of abide in me. He's telling them what is, in those words, abide in me, he's telling them what is essential to a maturing relationship with him. Abide in me. And he's inviting them to do so. He's telling them this is the key to Christ's likeness. Abide in me. 3 times he says those words. Abide in me. He's telling them to maintain a closeness, a harmony, a communication with him. To encourage them to do this, Jesus speaks these words, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. The subject that he's speaking upon is his love for them. It is in the love of Christ, his love for us, that we find great joy, great peace and encouragement. And that's why he's speaking to them these words on this particular night. Notice in verse 11, he says, these things, abide in me, and then talking about his love for them, have I spoken unto you that my joy, not just joy, but my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That is, by my joy, being in you. So in our text, verse 9, Jesus declares his love for them. He uses two adverbs, as and so. As and so, describing the verb loved. As and so. They convey the idea of in like manner. In like manner as the Father hath loved me, I have loved you. That is an amazing statement. As and so, he's introducing a parallel. And we're going to speak on Christ's paralleled yet unparalleled love. First of all, just consider the subject matter, that is Christ loving us. We hear Jesus say, I have loved you. In other words, I have loved you. I have loved you. Again, the subject is Christ's love. And what a subject matter it is. The love of Christ. It is a subject matter of absolute wonder and amazement. It's all about grace. Consider the individuals involved in this matter. So have I loved you. Two pronouns. I, referring to Christ, and you, referring to the 11, referring to you and I that are saved. He says, I, God in flesh, you, the creature, I, the Holy One, the pure one, the sinless and perfect God, and you, sinners, transgressors of God's perfect law. I, the one who is worthy of all, and you, the unlovable and unworthy. So it is God and the sinner is what we have here. God and the sinner. God is holy. God is just. God demands perfect holiness and perfect righteousness. And the sinner is the one who has violated and rebelled against God. He's the one who has deviated from the perfect law of God. Guilty before God. Deserving of God's condemnation. Jesus says, I and you. And the difference between those two, I and you, we cannot comprehend. It is a difference or a distance that we cannot span. I and you. That distance between him and us cannot be calculated. There's a gulf that cannot be spanned between God and the sinner. That is, that the sinner cannot span. So we see the object, or we see the people involved in this matter, I and you. Notice the doer and the object of the subject matter. The subject matter is his love. Notice the doer Have I loved you? Or I have loved you? Between the I and the you, look there in verse 9, between the I and the you is the word loved. That is the act performed. I is the doer, the performer of the act. You is the object and the recipient of the act. This lines up with 1 John 4, verse 10, where we read, "Ye, not that we loved God, but that He loved us." And in 1 John 4, verse 19, "He first loved us." I loved you. To love, of course, is to hold dear. It is to cherish, it's to feel an attachment and a devotion to. And Jesus says, I hold you dear. I cherish you. I have an attachment and devotion to you. I have loved you. It's the same, I and you, it's the same as the he and the us of 1 John chapter 4. And it declares the greatness of this act. It declares the wonder, the marvel, just how remarkable it is. I have loved you. He who is infinitely holy loved us. The one that the heavens cannot contain. The one who is all sufficient, needs absolutely nothing from you and I, loved us. He whose glory is the astonishment of the most glorious of beings, loved us. He who is God, the maker of heaven and earth, the Almighty, the all in all, loved us. Jesus says, I loved you. I did so when you were guilty, when you were unrighteous, when you were unclean, when you were in the power, when you were estranged and cold and indifferent and filled with self-seeking and self-indulgence and self-importance, I have loved you. All the wonder of that truth. Jesus loved us. A love that moved Him to become poor, that we would be rich. Think of what that love must have been that brought the Lord from heaven to become a man, to become the man of sorrows for our sake. It was this love of Christ that moved Him to be despised and hated and ridiculed by sinful man. It was this love that moved Him to take our sins upon Himself and made Him to be sin and a curse for us. It was this love that moved Him to die the death of a felon between two thieves for us. Moved Him to give His life so that we could have life. Jesus declared in verse 13 of John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yet Christ didn't lay down His life for His friends. He laid down His life for His enemies. And we see that made very plain in Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. It is a love that gave all for the unlovable. A love that gave all to those who were estranged from God. It's a love that is unconditional. It's uninfluenced. That is, there wasn't anything that we could do to cause Him to love us. It was a love in spite of ourselves. It is a love that was unsought. We didn't seek this love. It's the most amazing of all love. Nothing else compares. It is a love that reaches deeper than the filth of our sin. Love will go to great lengths. A love that reaches deeper than what is wrong and what is displeasing to God. It is a love that reaches deeper than the debilitating control of sin. It is a love that reaches deeper than the confining darkness and ignorance of sin. It is a love that reaches deeper than our enmity, than our rebellion, deeper than all of our rejections of God. It's a love that reaches deeper than the shame of sin. A love that reaches deeper than our unbelief. And that our past reaches deeper than our past, deeper than our present. Never has love stooped lower than Christ's love for us. It is a love that is invincible. It overlaps everything. It goes beyond everything that's in the way. And there's plenty in the way. There's our unworthiness. Talking just right now in our saved state. Our murmurings. Our selfishness, our stubbornness, our wanderings, our pride, our hardness of heart and coldness, our inconsistencies, our backslidings, our doubtings, on and on we can go. But none of those get in the way of His love. None of those quench His love. It is a love in spite of our ongoing deformities of sin and folly. This is a love that cannot be turned back. I've heard a lot of people through the years say to their spouse or to me concerning their spouse, I don't love him anymore or I don't love her anymore. How sad. This is a love that can't be turned back. It is a love that regenerated us. It is a love that reconciled us to God, adopted us into the blessed family of God. A love that made us accepted before God. A love that forgave us. A love that set us free. A love that has made us more than conquerors. It is a love that blesses us every day in spite of ourselves. God's love for us in Christ and Christ's love for us is unique. It's unprecedented. It's extraordinary. It is beyond human description and language. But then we come to the parallel of this love. It has no human parallel, but there is a parallel. We hear Jesus say, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. This speaks of the manner of love, the manner of His love. When Jesus speaks of a parallel to His love, He does not look to the various loves of earth. between man and a woman, or between mother and child, or father and child. That's not what he looks to. But he looks to the greatest of love, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. It is the love of God toward his co-equal Son. That is the manner of love that he has for you and I. That just beyond words, that's amazing. As the Father hath loved me. So when Christ wants to illustrate his love for them, he uses the Father's love for him. There's no other way to illustrate it. It's a deep love. How deep is the Father's love for the Son? How deep is that love? It's a tender love. It's an eternal love. There was never a time when the Father didn't love the Son. There's never a time when he didn't love me. It's without beginning. It's without end. It's a forever love. We hear Jesus say, so have I loved you. As the Father loved me with an immutable love, a perfect, forever the same love, a love without any pause, a love without any slack, a love that never grows cold. Jesus says, so have I loved you. This is amazing. As the Father loved him with an infinite love, immeasurable, incomprehensible. And we hear Jesus say, so have I loved you. Just as the Father loved him with an invincible love, a love that cannot be extinguished, cannot be drowned, cannot be quenched. And Jesus says, so have I loved you. As the Father loved him with a very particular and very personal love, Jesus says, so have I loved you. The Father's love for the Son is a love of delight. We hear Jesus say, so have I loved you. God the Father delights in His Son. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus Christ does the same for us. He delights in us. As the Father loved Him with a special and peculiar love, Jesus says, so have I loved you. The Father loved Christ in a very powerful, fervent way. And Jesus says, so have I loved you. This is no ordinary love. This is no ordinary love. Don't use a human illustration to picture Christ's love. The only illustration you can use is, has the Father loved him? This is a perfect love. It's a love beyond human description. It's a love beyond human language and human comprehension. It is a love so extensive. I mean, just how extensive is God the Father's love for the Son? Well, there's no way to measure that. It's an extensive love. It's absolute. How absolute is the Father's love for the Son? It's strong. It's committed. How committed is the Father to the Son? So have I loved you. So we read it over and over. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Just keep reading it. Just keep repeating those words until it begins to grip our hearts. His love for us. As the Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. There should be an unquestionable assurance and belief of Christ's love. You say, well, I'm not so sure because I know who I am. You're misunderstanding Christ's love. It doesn't have anything to do with who you are. It's in spite of who we are. We ought to be sure, not based on anything in us, but we're sure because He said it. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. I'm positive of that. Why? Because He said it. I have no reason, you have no reason to doubt what He says. Do you believe such love? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Do you believe that? Do you know the certainty of that love? Can you feel that love that He has for you? We need to always feel that love. When we sin, when we begin to wander, we need to feel that love. Because it'll draw us back. So hear Jesus say, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. There's not anyone here that would doubt the doctrinal teaching of that. But this is more than a doctrinal teaching. It's a present, ongoing reality. And we need to know it as such. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. We need to hear those words just as if Christ was standing next to us, puts His arm around us, and speaks it directly to us. As the Father loved me, so I love you. That's how real it needs to be. We need to live in the awareness of this love. Always aware. Always knowing. Always realizing this unimaginable love that He has for us. We need to live absolutely persuaded of that truth. Again, don't look at yourself. You're not the reason. All the reasons He loves you, He's the reason. It's called grace. So, well, I'm such a horrible person, and I just have a hard time believing it. It's not about you. It's about Him. He said it. So you can be absolutely persuaded that it's so. You can be convinced. We need to be convinced in the depths of our soul. His love for us. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That needs to take possession of us. Needs to conquer us. It needs to overwhelm our being. He loves me as the Father loved Him. Again, this needs to take possession of us. It's not just that He provides for us. He does. He does so wonderfully. But He loves us. It's not just that He cares for me. He does. And it's beyond words. But He loves me. It's not just that He thinks upon me, and He does. But He loves me. It's not just that He watches over me, and He does. But He loves me. The manner of this love is as the Father loved Him. This must be more than a doctrine. It must be more than a church teaching. It must be real to you and I. An ongoing, felt reality. We need to live feeling the power and the fervency of His love. Feeling the tenderness and the compassion of His love. The long suffering. Again, to me, that's the most amazing attribute there is, long suffering. The mercy and the devotion of us. Of as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. We ought to be amazed, filled with wonder. We ought to live in awe of such love. We can become cold, callous, indifferent toward Him. We can become so self-involved and so self-indulgent that we forget Him. We can become so proud and unthankful and unappreciative that we're oblivious of Him. But He loves me just as the Father loved Him. That's amazing. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Do we doubt the Father's love of the Son? You say, oh, no, I don't doubt that. Then don't doubt His love for you, because as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. I have no doubt of the Father's love for the Son. No doubt at all. And I should have no doubt of His love for me. There's a great power in this love. When it's planted deep in our hearts and it begins to take root, it becomes a force. It becomes a working influence in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. Remember, Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. And if you read the context there in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about Christ's love for us. That is, this love of Christ motivates you and I. It ought to move us. It ought to inspire us. It ought to stimulate us. It ought to have great influence in our life. Something that pushes us and propels us and drives us. And when it's planted deep in our hearts and it takes root, it gives us an entirely different perception than the world concerning what our direction of life ought to be. He becomes the reason for living. It gives us the perception that we are to be dedicated, consecrated, and set apart for Him. It gives us the perception that the interests that we pursue, the decisions that we make, the relationships that we establish, the positions that we take are not ever to be separated from Him who loves us. Never are they to be separated from Christ. This love needs to be, this truth needs to be planted deep in our hearts, so that we want Christ to be in every aspect of our lives. And the more we know that He loves us, you cannot help but love Him. And the more you love Him, the more, the further you want to go in His cause. None of us have gone far enough. You don't reach a point in your Christian life, okay, this is it. This is as far as I go. If you know anything about His love for you, you just cannot walk far enough in His cause. This love for us has a melting influence in our lives. Has a consoling influence. Has a cleansing and sanctifying influence. Has a strengthening influence. It's something that ought to influence our entire life, our entire being. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. There's great joy in that statement. Ought to cause us to worship Him. So I ask you tonight, can you hear Jesus saying to you, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you? You need to hear that. You need to listen. Does not that move your heart for Him? When He says, as the Father loved me, I love you. If that doesn't do something to you, you're probably spiritually dead. How can I not love Him in return? How can I not desire and long for fellowship with Him? Again, the text is, abide in me. To encourage us to do that is His love. How can I not be sensitive to His voice? How can I not think upon Him? How can I not want to obey Him and glorify Him? Again, I would challenge you tonight to think upon these words. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Just think, meditate upon those words. Go back to different times and experiences of your life and know those words were true every step of the way. There's never been a time when those words have not been true in our lives. Even before our being, He loved us. Even before He created, He loved us. Just an amazing, amazing love. And then he presents the challenge, which will, it's not our message, continue ye in my love. Continue. He's telling them, go on. Don't be downcast. Continue. Ye in my love. Thank the Lord for the Lord's love. Can't thank Him enough. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.